looking at all this and the way we're able to do everything anymore. It's my little sports gut moment, isn't it? I look at this, it's not, you know, he just said, and just like that, you know, so there it is. And just like that, my pastor became a televangelist. Just like that. Let's go to a very familiar passage in Luke, and not Luke, John chapter 8. And you can look that up, follow along. Some of you have tablets and other things. You'll know this passage. And I'll tell you what led into it. On this one, I'll read to you. And if you say, I've heard you do this, not this particular, this passage, but not this particular message. Yes. And this is and I'll share the reason that God brought this message back in just a moment. Let me read the first verse. I just put, Love Takes a Stand. Title it that way. Love Takes a Stand. Love takes a stand on what's right, on what's the right thing to do, and it stands in the gap, and that's the first point. And love just stands in the gap. It takes a stand, and it takes a stand when it's the right time to take a stand. And so here's where this, a little background for this, and then we'll read John 8. And Ezekiel, you can mark this down and read all this, 22:30, an interesting passage, and think it over. And it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me. Isn't that powerful? I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me. That's the Lord speaking. On behalf of the land that I should not destroy. And God just kind of hits you with that and says, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for not just men. I mean, they use masculine terms, but I'm looking for a man, a woman. I'm looking for people who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Friends, that we're there, and we've got to stand in the gap. I don't mean to be, I know this is going out, and I have to be careful from the things I say, wait, we're doing this. This is really, you know, going on Facebook all bit. But, hey, I'll tell you something. I was so proud. I don't know if any of you heard about it. I don't know where it happened, where the veterans stood together. And I don't know if you heard about this, but a group of veterans took a stand and against some of these looters and rioters. And I got to tell you something. And these were veterans, older vets. Those kids wish they hadn't met those vets. They stomped their bottom and stopped it. And friends, we're talking about love today, but I'm going to tell you about love. Love is merciful, kind, generous, patient, all of this. But when you look at the life of Jesus, there's a side of love that we overlook so often. And love is tough. Love has to be tough. Tough and tender. You know, there's a time, most always love, you just, you know, stand in the gap and you have compassion, empathy. But friends, there's a time that love says, I'm just not, because I love you, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to allow it. I was so proud of those old veterans. They just stomped the living daylights out of those and stomped that net. And I thought, I've been saying them here, and I have. And listen, I know, I don't want you to think that I'm radical, crazy, anything. I just know that sometimes if I love my country, if I love my flag, if I love my church, I've got to be willing to build a wall and stand in the gap and fight for what I believe and not let people take it down. I mean, we have gone so far. I don't know if any of you have been to Love Field in Dallas lately. They're probably not. But over there is that big statue of the Texas Ranger. And Dallas is now forcing, saying, we're going to take that down in our protest against the Texas Rangers. And we're going to take it down in protest of law enforcement. I didn't want to see it in Texas, but it's happening in Dallas. And all I can say to you is this. I don't know why I'm on Forrest Gump. I'm not a Tom Hanks fan, but I'm Forrest. But how stupid is as stupid does. And, you know, what's wrong with you people? The Texas Rangers are an honor. I mean, they were here before anybody else. and they we're going to take it down, probably already have, to protest law enforcement. Really? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was just wishing, and it was too late when I heard. It's like, oh God, if we could just have people band together and just form big squares, circles around that and say, no, you're not. We're done. We're not. You're going to have to come through us to get it, and you're not going to do that. It stopped this stuff. And I guess I'm saying, and here I am, and I wish I was, you know, and this is when I wish that we were, you know, out there with a big, you know, millions of dollars and all that, where we could really do something. But I'm just saying, take your stand. And whoever's listening to this, don't put up with it anymore. Don't hurt people. Do not sin in doing it, but take your stand. Don't let this continue. You know, friends, we got to take a stand here in this church. We're not immune to it. I know the devil will try to send people in and around sooner or later, God forbid, but we've seen it before, to try to disrupt things, and you're going to have to take a stand and be willing to stand in the gap and say, there's the door. That's tough love, but there's the door. The door of this church is open to anyone seeking Christ, hurting. We're going to look at that in a moment. But I'm not going to tolerate somebody that comes in and starts causing trouble, desecrating anything, or trying to mess with the church of the living God. I hope you stand with me on that. That's the way I feel. So, the Lord our God is one Lord, and He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and keep that right there. And ask God, how do you want me to do that the best? I don't promote violence in any form. I don't want to see that. But I also will say to you that there's a time in love to say, not happening on my watch. So He's looking for someone to make a wall and stand in the gap on behalf of the land, and I should not destroy it. I don't believe that God is near as interested in destroying our country as people themselves are interested in destroying our country. And they're trying to sneak in socialism, Marxism, in a big way. And we see it. And as a Christian, and I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get some rebuttal from this. You cannot be a Christian and a Marxist at the same time. Marxists don't believe in God. They believe the state, the system, the government is God. And if the government is God, then I don't believe in it. Do you? I sure don't want to thank our government or any government of God. I believe in the one and only God, God the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day and is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, interceding for us even right now, this moment. That's who I believe in. And that's who I worship. So having said that, just know this. The look of love, what does it look like? One, it takes a stand at the right time. And it takes a stand when it's needed. And you say, what are you saying, Tony? Let me bring this into this. I'm saying all this stuff at the same time. God keeps directing my heart to this. Tony, don't forget why I called you. Don't forget your mission. Your mission is to what? Be a Christian. To bring this word. Don't forget, don't get sidetracked with all the ugliness and the meanness. Yes, you may, if you're called upon to take a stand, take it. I take a stand this morning, though, saying, don't forget why this church exists, why the church of the living God of Jesus Christ is here in the first place. And to illustrate that point, there's just nothing better, at least for this morning, than John chapter 8. Let me read it from the New Living Translation. Jesus returned from the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning He was back at the temple. And a crowd soon gathered and sat down, and He taught them. As He was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, Rabbi, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? You say, I know this story, and I do too. But God wants us to go over it because this is our mission. This is where we're at. This is what we're here for. And what do you say? And they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down, rolled in the dust with his finger. And they kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And then he stooped down again and rolled in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" She said, "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." By the way, in the Greek, what that literally says, it says, "Go and leave your life of sin." I don't know why it's not translated exactly like it's supposed to be. But what he literally said was, and you go back to the Greek text, this is close, but we know, and where I wanted to catch this real quick, we know that nobody can just go and sin no more. I have trouble not sinning on the way down here on Sunday. I just really do, and we had some interesting experiences today. People texting and driving, these were truck drivers, and all of a sudden they're coming over in your lane and you're slamming on your brakes. And I'm not sending out blessings at the moment on these people, and I didn't cuss or anything, but I said some other things and told them, you know, where I thought their size of their brains were and all this. And then I looked over and I said, "Well, I'm preaching on love. I may as well get it out of my system so I can talk about love, you know, before I get there." And so, you know, that's my way of dealing with it. Then God kind of taps on the heart and says, "Not funny." So I get over it. But he says, "Go and leave your life of sin." And he said, what he was saying was, "Go, and I don't want you doing this as a matter of lifestyle anymore." Because nobody can keep from sinning. No, nobody. No missionary, no pastor. I don't care. I know a lot of these guys act like they don't do anything wrong. Oh, my Lord. You know, you see these TV boys, there's these TV guys, and people just think, don't you believe it? Everybody sins. I'm not running anybody down. I'm just saying we all. But he said, don't go out purposely doing this anymore. He said, "Lady, we both know that you were doing this out of choice. And I want you to just stop freely doing this stuff." But let's get into the real crux of this thing. Hey, there's some things to know. And you say, "Hey, you brought this not that long ago." Yeah, but I didn't say all this because God gave me some new things. This is where God wants us to be. You know what the church is here for? It's to help people who are caught in the act, who have fallen on their face, who have been dragged out and humiliated and hurt by life. Don't forget our mission in the midst of all the violence that's out there. We're not pacifists. I've never been a pacifist pastor. I can't be. God didn't make me that way. And I've been asked, "How do you describe yourself? You know, what are you?" And it's like, for whatever reason, I call myself a warrior pastor. I've been a warrior. I was a warrior. I chose the warrior path in the military. I just am. And fighting has been the story of my life. I had to fight to be born. My mom couldn't even deliver me. She told me this story of how this happened when she had some real lucid times in her life. She was at herself, and she said, "You know what happened to you?" And of course, no, I don't remember when I was born. I'll tell you. And she said, "I couldn't deliver you." And back then, you know, it was back then when I was being born, I was in a little hospital in Mineral Wells, Texas. And the Nazareth Hospital is not even there anymore. Anyway, she couldn't have me. And the doctor came in and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He's stuck in the canal that came to a C-section. And she said, she just stopped and said, "I know what to do." And she said, "God, if I'll give this child to you if you'll let him be born." And she said, right up. And she said, "So I gave you to God before you ever born." So God had his little warrior pastor guy there. And I struggled and did not. And I fought. I did everything I could not to do this. I didn't want a damn pastor. And she gave it. And I've often thought, when I meet mom in heaven, I'm going to tell her, "It's your fault. you did this to me, but she said, you know, she said we were desperate. We've been trying to have you, and this is what I was born in. And I just gave you, I said, God, you have him, it's yours. I'll give him to you. He'll let me be born and marry her. And so I started out with trauma and lived in trauma and have had some kind of crisis or something to battle with all my life. And so that I'm saying all that to say, warrior. That, look at your life. Some people, you know, they say, oh, I'm so depressed and I'm so down. You just don't know how I grew up. It's like, you don't get it. Why don't you take a benefit from it and say the way that I was raised, the stuff that happened to me, was to form me into the person God destined me to be. He taught me to fight. He taught me to win. He taught me to survive, how to make it when times aren't very good. And most of my childhood, they weren't very good. But hey, we made it. My sister and I were talking on the phone here just a few days ago. Sometimes in the morning on her way to work, she's stuck in traffic up there, and she'll call. And first I have to hear a bit about the traffic, and we get through all of that. I'm sitting there, But then we get in, and she was talking, you know how we were raised, and it was so rough, and all this stuff, and you went out and went up and down the roads and picked up soda pop bottles, and you could sell them for three cents, at least somewhere, or a nickel. And when we got us some money that way, yeah, I remember all that. And we were just talking, you know, going back and forth. And she said, you know, it was so hard, but we learned to make it on whatever we got to do, we do it. And we lived. And I thought, see, God was forming his warrior. And make it his habit. Look at your own life. Don't think God neglected you or picked on you or was mean to you. He was using it. He had to do something. Think about it. He used something to form who he wanted you to be. And you say, well, oh, so and so, they had it easy. They don't have the calling you have. They were not meant to meet the people that you're to meet. They don't have the witness. They have something different. Don't you see? Too many people are living and just so sad and angry about how they were raised instead of saying God had a plan. I've heard people, how many hundreds, you know, ask this as a common question. Why did God let this happen to me? Because you weren't going to do it any other way. You weren't getting it. Why was my childhood that way? Because God wanted you formed into the type of person that people, when you speak, they know you're not shooting a bunch of bull at them from a book. From, you know, you've lived it. God wants you when he brings a message to me to say, hey, that guy's been there, done that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With the good times and the bad times. So you know it's real. It's like he's not telling me something. Yeah, the Bible is true. But it's, you know, you hear so many people preaching it, and you're like, you can tell the way they're preaching or teaching that they've never been there. They haven't done that. I don't want somebody, you know, talking to me that has never lived. Do you? So many people live, you know, and I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. But there's so many people that get out there and they want to become a televangelist, they want to do this. I'm not talking about all of them, but there's some. And they want to be on the radio or whatever. But what they're talking about, they don't have any knowledge of it. They don't have any experience. They're telling you something that they've never done. And it's in the Word, and that's great. And it's like, well, have you done everything in this world? No. I'm sure glad I haven't done it. I haven't, you know, cut anybody apart or run over anybody. Not yet. But you know, and I'm not planning on it. But the point is, God, look at the stuff in your life and how you were raised and the junk that's happened to you. Do you think that don't waste those moments? And so we read this here about this woman, and she was guilty, but aren't we all? And what is our mission? Our mission is to bring guilty people into here and love them like Jesus did and say, we accept you. We don't have to agree with your sin, but we accept you, and we just want you to go and stop your life of sin. You know, stop doing this as a habit, and we're here to help you do that. We're not condemning you. We're here to support you. We want to help you come to Christ. Friends, don't lose sight of what we are and who we are with all this COVID and all this other stuff and all these riots out here. Don't you see? The enemy couldn't shut us down with COVID, so he's trying to shut us down now with violence. As churches and as a nation, well, rebuke him in Jesus' name and take your stand and stand in the gap. And don't surrender. You obviously haven't surrendered because you're sitting here this morning. You're not giving in. Yes, be cautious. I've used that sanitizer and that, my hands are wrinkling already. And so, you know, but be, you know, be common sense. But don't run in fear and stand in the gap. So here's all this taking place. And this right here was happening to show us and teach us. It's not just about a woman and a event. It's about this is what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. Helping sinful, hurting people come to Christ and find who they are in Him. This is one of the most remarkable experiences that you'll find in Scripture of the love and compassion of Jesus. And yet, look at it. He was so tender towards her and so tough towards the religious crowd who judged her. There's an example of what I was talking about earlier. Tough and tender love. He was so tender. No judgment. Where are your accusers? But he didn't cut any slack to those accusers, did he? Not one bit. And we're not here to cut any slack to the accusers and to the violence. I'm not going to cut them any slack. But man, somebody comes dragging in here and they're hurt and they're caught and they're whipped by life, you bet you I'll cut them slack. And we'll put them at one of these tables and we'll all love them and hug them and be the church Jesus Christ called us to be. This is, you can't see a better act with the church. This, and keep your focus. If God, just pray and take your stand when it's necessary. But God will handle the violence. I'm telling you, He'll turn it on their own heads. You keep praying that. These people trying to take over this country and throw the churches out and hurt Christian people, God bring it back on their own heads. That God protects your people, and I pray His protection over you, and I pray you'll pray it over me, and we're going to take care of each other, and we're going to let God take care of us all. So let me tell you something, and you read this here, and for those of you who may not have ever heard this before, this is real significant stuff. There's something else going on in here. Just like people done today, same stuff. You know, they've got all these little undercurrents, and they got all these other things they're trying to accomplish. There was a real problem here, and it says this. They put it in front of the crowd. They said she's caught. And they were, I mean, verse 6 says they were trying to trap him into saying something that could use against him. You say, how could they trap him? Everybody, listen to this. This is significant. Jewish law commanded that she be stoned to death. But the Romans had passed law that said no Jews can carry out an execution, only the Romans. So they had him. Yes, by Jewish law, Jesus was supposed to say stoner, but the Roman law said you guys can't do that. So they thought they had him. This woman and what she was doing meant nothing to the Pharisees, but they tried to see, it was a smokescreen. They were using her, who obviously they had set up for this, because you can't know somebody's committing adultery unless you're watching the adultery. Now, you talk about some perverts. There's some perverts here. You ever thought about it? How do you know she's caught in the act unless you're watching the act? You peepers. I mean, think about this. This is like, hey, you guys are weird. If I'd been there, I'd have had to. It's like, which one of you weirdos is watching this to start with? Don't you have anything better to do? So, this, in a sense, is your first porno movie. I thought that'd be funnier, man. Nobody had a sense of humor about that. It was. They were watching this because they knew she was doing it. Well, okay. And now you come in there, you bunch of perverts, and you pull her in front of Jesus. They didn't care. She was nothing but a pawn. They made a big deal about it. Do you see parallels in this with what's going on around us? You're making a big deal out of one thing to scoot in another. You are distracted. You're creating diversions to cause other things. These rites and all this, watch. There's a lot of diversionary tactics to sneak in other bills and laws and things to keep our eyes so the media, and you don't hear, you got to study, watch the bills that are being presented, because you get so focused. And that's why I'm saying to you, don't let this take you away from watching and doing and living the way God wants you to watch and to do and to live. Stay in the Word of God. Pray about this. Be ready. If God needs you, wants you out here to do something, do it. But don't get angry. Don't get all caught up in it. Stay where you're supposed to be. So anyway, here, this was the trap. The Roman law said you can't carry out Jewish laws of execution, not under the Roman rule. So if Jesus said stoner, he's violating the law. If he says don't stoner, he's violating the law, God's law. What a trap. Anybody ever felt set up like this where you felt you were in a no-win situation? No matter what you did, you weren't going to win. So what does Jesus do? Here's where you gain wisdom from Scripture. He didn't respond to that. He didn't say either. He turned it on them. What he's literally saying is this. Learn to do this. Ask God for the wisdom to turn things back on other people's heads. And here's how he did it. He said, okay, since you brought her here, since you're window peeping, well, back then it had been tent peeping, I guess, or whatever you were doing. Anyway, whatever you were doing, you caught her, okay, and she's not denying it, so, okay, she's caught. And by the way, guys, you're stomping a poor human being here in the dirt. She knows she's guilty. Why don't we need to put a foot on her neck and push her face in the dirt anymore? He didn't say all that, but that's what's implied. That's what's happening here. So what he does is just say, okay, that's fine. So which one of you guys here has never sinned that's perfect, and you pick up a stone since you started this? You're the guys that are, by the way, you see what he did without saying the words? What does the Scripture say? To stone someone, they had to be accused by how many? Right, eyewitnesses. Jesus didn't see it. They saw it. The ones that saw it had to break, and they had to commence the stoning. He turned it right back on their own head. Look at this. Learn to do this. And you know what he did? Listen to me. This is so practical, but so hard to do. He didn't let them twist his emotions and get him all in mad. That's what we do. That's how the devil defeats Christians. Don't let your emotions get ahead of God. You with me here? And so he just stayed cool. You say, well, he's Jesus, but he's in us. Jesus in me. What does Scripture say? Christ in me. Christ in you. Our hope of glory. And he turned it back on their own heads. This is incredible. And he says, all right, you guys peeped. You watched the show. And as Louis Lamar says, a lot of his old westerns, okay, you call the tune. Now dance to the music. I like that in Lamar. That's what two guys were fixing to draw and shoot. You know? Well, you call the tune, you dance to the music. And I thought, oh, I like that. Why isn't that in the Bible somewhere? Well, it kind of is. And that's what he was saying here. You call the tune, boys, you dance to the music. Now, one of you that's without any sin, that thinks you're so dead good and righteous, you just go ahead and throw a stone because you're the only one qualified. Can't you see him standing there? Wasn't raving, wasn't losing his temper, just, all right, fine, you boys want to do that, I'll put it right back on you. I didn't see it, y'all saw it. So which one of you eyewitnesses is going to cast the first stone? It's got to be the one that's never sinned. You know what he was really saying? Have you ever caught this? Which one of you wasn't peeping in the window? You can cast the first stone. Don't you see it? They caught themselves in their own trap. By coming and exposing her, they exposed what they were doing to expose her. If you ask God for wisdom and discernment, for insight, He'll show you In your heart and mind, He'll take you to the Word. He'll give you sources, but He'll reveal to you what's going on behind the lines. Do you see it? This is powerful stuff. And I've never brought this message in this light before, but you know, I found you can read Scripture and preach and teach and preach and teach, and then He'll show you something new every time. It's just amazing. Don't ever think some passage is too old and I'm just seeing things in here and how He turned it on their own heads. And which one of you weather keepers wants to cast the first stone? Because you're more guilty than she is. You know why they were more guilty? One, they were watching the act. Secondly, they passed judgment and condemnation on an individual and dragged her out in public. Pretty cold-blooded, huh? Do you see what this revealed? It revealed the heart of God in Jesus Christ, the heart of love. And it revealed the stone-cold heart of religion. Don't ever be a religious person. Don't ever let your heart become religious. Let your heart be spiritual. Don't follow the religious line and be a Pharisee, but follow Jesus Christ. We are not religious people. I'm not a religious pastor. I am God's pastor, given to God from birth, before birth. And I'm living by God's Holy Spirit. So what are we? We're spirit people. We're born again people. We're not a religious people. Everybody with me? I know Christianity's called religion. That's okay. Go ahead and call it that. But we're not religious. We're spiritual. And spiritual people don't do religious things. You see what religion does to people. It makes you hard. Letter of the law. By the way, were they accurate? Were they true? Were they right? Was she supposed to be stoned? Yes. But where's compassion? Where's love? And let me give you another insight here. That's really important for you to know. This is a Bible study today, but more than preaching, it's a Bible study. But I think it's a good one. I hope you agree. But I want you to see the depth of all of this and all that's involved here. This woman committing adultery. Now, we don't know what that means. We know what the act means, but you see, in the laws of the day, if she could have been separated from her husband. A woman that didn't have a husband or was separated from her husband, did you realize in that day, have you ever thought, have you ever studied the times, the customs? They couldn't really get employment. This is what they usually fell upon if they didn't have a man. That was the only thing they had. So we don't know if she was, all we know is an act that was wrong. And Jesus didn't even, He never even rebuked her for the act. I just look at that. It's like, you're the Son of God. What's going on here? And it's like, don't you see, friends? She didn't need to be told she was a sinner. She didn't need to be told she committed adultery. Isn't it amazing how somebody can mess up and everybody's telling them that they messed up? Don't you think they know they messed up? Has anybody ever had to tell you when you messed up? I've had to be told in my younger years, I knew I messed up. I had to be told a few times, you need to get that right. But I sure knew I did. We know when we mess up. You ever let out a bunch of words and then you just feel like, anybody ever do that in here? Thank you. Yeah, there's two of you that kind of did, raised a hand. The rest of you, why are you just sitting there lying to me like that? Well, everybody has. Yeah, and if you didn't let it out, you certainly thought it. Haven't we all thought a bunch of stuff? If all the people died that we thought needed dying or needed to be killed, the population, we wouldn't have any population control problems, would we? You ever want anybody gone in your mind? Well, this is a silent group today. I'm trying to get some response here, and it's like, we're not saying anything. We're not going to agree to any of this stuff here. You're trying to trap us. You've been studying this too much. What's your little trap now? You've been studying what Jesus did too long. You're fixing to get out. I'm not going to confess. Anyway, do you see all this good stuff? Because in this, Jesus used this to reveal the stone-cold hearts of the Pharisees, and then to show the love of God, and to show us and teach us where love takes a stand. And love stands for people who can't stand for themselves. Don't you see that? Jesus stood for a woman who couldn't stand for herself. She had nothing to stand on. That's what we're here for. Don't let your heart get cold. Don't give in to all the stupidity and the meanness and the violence that's going on in this world. And so that was the second thing. You know, love stands for the fallen. Don't forget that's what we as Christians are here to do. He was standing for the fallen. She did it. She was guilty. She probably done it more than once. How do we know that? Because they knew where to find her. They set her up. You can go through this whole scenario. And we also, how do we know that she was doing this habitually? Because Jesus said, go and leave your life of sin. So he knew. He knows everything. But he knew she'd been doing this a while. And he didn't condemn her. So love stands for the fallen. She did it more than once. And by the way, one more little Bible study insight today. I found this very interesting as I just really focused on it. Did you know she didn't come and fall on her knees? She had never once asked him to forgive her yet. She was there, and she didn't come to Jesus falling on her knees and saying, I sin, Lord, forgive me. She wasn't saying anything. You say, what's your point? Love forgives before the act of asking. Jesus Christ, because I believe in him, because you believe in him, forgives us our sins even before we've asked him to. Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And he was showing here, look at the insight in this one passage. He was showing here the heart of God. He'd already forgiven her before she asked. This is amazing stuff. She's accused. She's beaten up. She wasn't there saying, please, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. She didn't say anything. But his love was there just the same. She was just there in the lynch mob with her. And that's what it was, by the way, is a lynch mob. But Jesus was there. And guess what he did? He stood up for her. And he stood against her oppressors. And that's the word in this. There's so much word in this. But friends, stand up for the fallen. Stand up for those who are hurting. And stand against the oppressors. Ask God in your heart and know these words. Know the word of God and study this stuff. And God, give me the wisdom to know when to be tender, but when I have to be tough. But let me do it as you do it. Such power. Love is the most powerful, powerful force on earth. We just don't understand its application so many times. And you see it all here. Tough against a religious crowd and so tender towards the fallen. He stood up for and against her prisoners. You know what he was really doing? He was standing up for God. He was showing the love and yet the power of Almighty God. The willingness to reach out to hurting, fallen, busted up people. And yet the willingness and the power at the same time to say no to those who hurt them. You will not hurt them anymore. Oh, wow, he confronted the wrong and he confronted the accusers. And he glorified God in the process. So let me wrap this up. In the end, because he turned it back on their own heads, they walked out. And from the least to the eldest, because none of them could throw the stone. What did he do? He just simply said, woman, where are your accusers? Do you understand what he was really getting at here? You see the depth of it? He was saying, where are your accusers? Not just meaning the Pharisees, but you're looking at the Son of God. Where are your accusers? And what he was saying was, nobody here this day is going to accuse you anymore. Isn't that powerful? Where are they? And she, what did she say to him? And where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord. And did you see it? What did she call him? Not rabbi, not teacher. When the Pharisees, the religious crowd, brought her in front of him, what did they call him? Teacher. They would not recognize him as Lord. But because of what he did for her, she didn't call him teacher. What did she call him? Lord. She saw the Lord. She saw the Lord through the love. Some of your translations may show a little different, but what she actually called him was Lord. I see God standing here. Only God, only a Savior could have done what you've just done. Nobody accused you? No one, Lord. No one. And she's acknowledging him as Lord. Don't you see it? This is how people come to Christ. This is where the church is to take its stand on love. Love. Take a stand on the tough and tender love that God gives us all. And all he said was, neither Jesus said, neither did I. Go and live your life of sin. You'll find no condemnation here today, lady. But you've found Jesus. And you've seen God. And you've seen how God is compared to the religious crowd and the judgmental and the condemning crowd. And you've seen the power of the Lord to overlook your sin and simply reach out a hand to you and say, come on, come on, go and sin no more. Leave this life of sin. God loves you. God hates your sin, but he doesn't confuse that with loving you who he created in his image. There's also one other huge, huge application here. There's no sin too great for God to forgive. And everybody in this room, if you're a Christian, you're forgiven. If you're not, get forgiven. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart. No sin is too great. And even when you're dragged in front of the whole world with it, Jesus Christ will stand in the gap and say, I don't condemn you. Go and live a better life because you've met the Savior, the Son of God, who transforms lives. That's the mission of the church. That's the God we serve. And let's stay on track with it. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come soon. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. God bless you, people, with the strength of this word, the strength of this prayer, with the filling and overflowing of your Holy Spirit as rivers of living water, as rivers of love. In Jesus' name, amen.